Okay, it's on. Can you guys hear me all right? This morning I've chosen a topic some rely upon daily, some rely upon each and every day of their lives as if their very lives depended on it. You might say, well, what kind of a subject is that? Well, it's a very important subject. Where do we go today to find wisdom? Do we go to the classrooms of our universities or schools to find wisdom? Is it perhaps on some remote mountaintop? Or perhaps in some remote wilderness that we go and we seek this knowledge, this wisdom? Do we all have a wisdom card? Is it in our wallets? Can we find it somewhere? Some would say, well, I go to my computer or the internet for wisdom. Others, perhaps some ancient civilization like the Egyptian tombs of their kings. Others would say, well, my neighbor gives pretty sound advice. Or my spouse, he or she gives sound advice. Others would look to science or the fruitless search for the origin of the species, if you will. My favorite, books. How about, you've heard of the dummies, you know, Computers for Dummies, or that series of books that it gives instructions. How about Wisdom for Dummies? That's my favorite. Today we're going to talk about a study in the book. Hopefully this works. Okay, it didn't work. Let's try this again. Today we're going to talk about the book of Proverbs. Now, wisdom is embedded in all the pages of the book of all the books of the Bible. But in particular, this book, the book of Proverbs, contains many words of wisdom, much instruction that we should all look to and glean as much as we can in our daily lives. For it is godly living at its utmost in the book of Proverbs. Now today we're not going to cover every page, every scripture in the book of Proverbs. But certainly I wanted to introduce the topic to you in such a way that we can all glean some understanding about what Proverbs is and what's in the book. If you haven't read it, I strongly encourage that you read the book of Proverbs. Read it often. Read it early and often. Each and every day or however you can. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. We learn that in Proverbs 1 verse 1, 10 verse 1, 25 verse 1, and many other scriptures refer to Solomon. This is broken up into sections. The wise men, or collections of saying of wise men, is found in chapter 22 verse 17 through chapter 24 verse 34. And I'm probably going to pronounce some of these names, so bear with me. Agur. Wrote chapter 30, which means his name, Agur, means gatherer or collector. You can see gatherer or collector of proverbs or wise sayings. Lemuel means dedicated to God, wrote chapter 31. This may refer to Solomon himself. We're not sure, we're not clear on that point. But that section, chapter 31, we can see in reference chapter 12, verse 24, might be referring to Solomon. You might say, well, what is a proverb anyways? Well, a proverb, the Hebrew word mishel, or mishil, and again, excuse me if I can't pronounce these exactly correct. A proverb means to be like, a comparison, noting likeness in the things that are unlike. Proverbs are brief, concrete, pithy. They illustrate general truths and have diverse applications throughout our lives as children of God. The main theme of Proverbs is found in Proverbs 4, verse 7. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. The main purpose of the writer of Proverbs, the main purpose why God gave us the Proverbs, I believe we can find in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 6. Which I'd like to read for you. Proverbs 1 verse 1 says, The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So even those of us who are well-learned, even those of us who are well-advanced in Scripture and knowledge of Scripture and God's Word, we can always learn more. We can always gain more wisdom concerning God's Word. The book of Proverbs illustrates that in these verses. It also makes wise the simple. The young are given instruction that they may learn and grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God for practical, everyday living in the book of Proverbs. You might say, well, what about an outline of Proverbs? Well, it's hard for me, at least, to give a general outline of the book of Proverbs, but I gave it my best shot. Proverbs chapter 1 through 9, a father, Solomon here, but it also, I believe, appeals to God our Father, giving us instruction, an invitation to wisdom. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through Proverbs 22, verse 16 are general Proverbs from Solomon. Proverbs 22:17 through chapter 24, verse 22 are the 30 sayings of the wise. And as you read the book of Solomon, you're going to see these things in Scripture. Proverbs 25 through 29, Hezekiah's collection of Solomon's Proverbs. Okay, so Solomon and the men, the king's men, gathered all these Proverbs and copied them down in this section, Proverbs 25 through 29. And as we discussed earlier, Proverbs chapter 30, the sayings of Agur, and Proverbs 31, the wise sayings of Lemuel, and a woman of excellence, which we refer to as wisdom. My slide isn't working here. What are the rewards of wisdom? Well, we can see in Proverbs 3, 13 through 18, we can be blessed when we find wisdom and get understanding. Verse 14 and 15 add, the gain and profit is better than silver or gold when you have wisdom. 16 and 17 of chapter 3 add that you'll have long life and riches and honor, the ways of pleasantness and peace. Proverbs give us a lot of practical advice for our everyday lives, how we handle our finances, to how we handle our moral compass in terms of our spirituality with God. Verse 18 adds, wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast are called blessed. You will gain much blessing if you read the book of Proverbs. If you gain its wisdom, its insight, you will truly be blessed by God. Proverbs 8, verse 32 through 36 add, the one who listens to instruction is wise. He watches and waits for it. He has life and favor from the Lord. The Lord wants us to increase in wisdom. The Lord wants us to read the Proverbs. That's why He gave them to us. They are truly a blessing from Him. What is God's relation to wisdom? What does that tell us about the source for acquiring such wisdom? Proverbs 3, 19 and 20 tells that by wisdom God founded or created the earth. If you look about all of the earth, all of the things that are in it, from the smallest molecule to the proteins that make up the DNA strand, it is all designed by wisdom and intelligence. There is no accident in that DNA strand. It wasn't just some random thing that happened. God designed it with purpose. The same would be true of the universe and all the things that God created, including the earth, all the animals, so on and so forth. Proverbs 8, verse 22 through 31, tells wisdom was present with God when He created the world. He established it as a coherent system. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. You know, God always has implied wisdom in the things He's created. He has shown us by the things that are created that He is God, that He is intelligent, and His wisdom is much higher than our wisdom. If we want wisdom, we should go to the source of wisdom. Now, we can study the things of this earth, the principles of gravity, for example. That's a fine example of how God set in motion His wisdom. Why do we have gravity? Why do we need gravity? Well, if you want to breathe, you have to have gravity. It contains the atmosphere. The gravitational pull of this earth holds the atmosphere on this planet. That's wisdom. God set that in motion. And that's just one example of tens of thousands. The principles of wisdom are built into the world's structure. It is the ordering principle on which everything functions and does not devolve into chaos. If God didn't implant wisdom in our minds, if He didn't implant wisdom in our hearts, if He didn't set a moral compass in man, we would be like the animals, killing, destroying, murdering. There would be no rule, no order. There would just be anarchy and chaos. But God has set these things in our hearts and in our minds. Man does answer to a higher calling. Man does set up rules and laws that the animals do not. God set that purpose in our hearts. We have rules and laws to live by. Not only our moral compass and laws and rules, but laws of the universe that keep things in order. Keep things rotating, if you will, around the earth. We have day and night. We have rest at night and work during the day. God has set forth these principles, these rules, if you will, this wisdom of work can teach us, can provide for our families. These rules that God has set forth are a blessing to us, not a curse. They keep us orderly. They keep us in line. And they keep us seeking after God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, studying His Bible, his or her Bible, always seeking the Lord, wisdom. The invisible attributes of God, we learn in Romans 1, are found in nature. His invisible attributes are all around us, and we can see them every day. What is wisdom? Where does wisdom originate? How is wisdom acquired? What is necessary on our part? Wisdom, you know, as we can see, the Lord is the source of all wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The wisdom of God is far superior than any kind of wisdom that man can create or generate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That statement is found in chapter 1, verse 7. If you want to obtain knowledge, you must also look to the Holy One, and He will grant it to you. Chapter 9, verse 10. Does having wisdom guarantee we will live by wisdom? What else does wisdom need besides knowledge? Well, just because you have wisdom doesn't mean you're going to live by it. Solomon was very wise, but Solomon also sinned. He was drawn away. He was enticed by the women, his concubines, and his wives. He was drawn away into idolatry. So even though he was wise, even though God had granted him all this wisdom, he didn't necessarily live by it. What about the fool? Just because someone is foolish doesn't mean they can't act wise or wisely. So we do have to be careful when we call someone a fool, because they can still be acting wiser than we are. What else does wisdom need besides knowledge? If you think about this, we need the Lord. If you don't have the Lord, all the knowledge of this world will do you no good. All the wisdom that man can generate will be fruitless without God. So a question like, what else do you need besides knowledge? You need God in your life. You need the love of Jesus in your heart. Some commentaries have suggested there are seven pillars that contribute to wisdom. Those seven we're going to talk about here briefly. Understanding, knowledge, prudence, shrewdness, instruction, discretion, and perception. Understanding. Understanding is defined by Wikipedia is to conceptualize something to a given measure. We have a concept of God by the measure of His wisdom that's instilled in us. God's wisdom, the knowledge of God, if it's in our hearts, we can measure how much we understand God by how much wisdom we have in our minds, how much we study, how much we meditate in God's Word. That's how we learn who God is. That's how we learn how God operates. And that's how we learn how God interacts with man. Knowledge, defined as expertise and skills acquired by a person through experience or education, the theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. Proverbs 1 verse 7 again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to become an expert at God's knowledge, you have to look and you have to fear the Lord, as in respect. Fear is in respecting the Lord and His wisdom. Prudence, to exercise sound judgment, one who is cautious, not taking risks. The ability to judge between virtuous and vicious actions at the right time. Again, Proverbs 1 verse 4, it makes wise the simple, or prudent, makes prudent the simple. Shrewdness is defined as astute or sharp in practical matters. One who is keen. That according to dictionary.com. God gives instructions in wise dealing. Chapter 1, verse 3. Instruction. Pardon the little tricks there. Instruction means teaching or education, to give information, authoritative direction. God teaches us. We are educated in spiritual matters. God gives divine, authoritative direction we must follow. Discretion, defined as freedom of judgment or freedom of choice. God gave us all the power of choice, the power of free will or free moral agency. It's our discretion how we use that power of choice. God has given us that discretion, that power, that discretion, that power of choice. Finally, perception. Perception is defined as insight, intuition, discernment, according to dictionary.com. We discern right from wrong. What is right? And who defines it? Well, God has defined what is right, what is good, what is pure and holy, what is lovely. He has defined it. We have to be able to discern right, to have the perception of right or wrong in any circumstance. God's wisdom is that standard of insight, intuition, and discernment. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. For all Scripture is inspired of by God. It is given to us, it is profitable, I should say, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That verse 17, that the man of God might be perfect or thoroughly equipped unto all good works. God's Word is the standard. We have the power of perception by studying His Word and be able to discern, have that intuition. Hopefully this is going to work. Battery must be dead. Finally, you might say, well, what does wisdom have to do with mankind? Is the wise man the one who knows it all? Or the man who knows he doesn't know it all? You have to pardon me, my scriptures aren't coming up here. The wise man knows how to acquire wisdom in anything. Along with God's help, where else does he turn? Proverbs 3, 5, or 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The wise man knows he doesn't know it all, and he seeks after God's instruction. He seeks after God's wisdom. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 10 verse 8 adds, the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. The wisdom in Proverbs is very practical. It's godly advice for Christians on how to live their lives today. James chapter 1 verses 5 through 8 says, If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If I can get this to work. In summary, we see that Proverbs was written by Solomon and perhaps a few others. The Proverbs are brief, concrete, and pithy. They illustrate general truths and have diverse application in our lives today. We talked about the rewards of wisdom. We talked about it being more precious than gold or silver or our money, that it is to be sought after. We talked about, by wisdom, how God created the world and embedded His wisdom in every aspect of His creation. We talked about how the Lord gave us wisdom in the Proverbs. And we talked about various aspects. We talked about the seven pillars which support wisdom: understanding, knowledge, prudence, shrewdness, instruction, discretion, and perception. We talked about trusting God's wisdom. And if we do, if we ask for God's wisdom, He will grant it to us liberally. This lesson on Proverbs was meant as an introduction. It certainly wasn't going to cover every topic, and there are hundreds of topics in the book of Proverbs. It was intended to introduce you to the Proverbs. If you haven't read it or perhaps haven't thought about it before, how much wisdom is really contained in that book? We talked about some of the aspects, some of the benefits you can receive from a book like Proverbs. Now, I haven't talked to you very much about obeying God's Word. If there are any here this morning who have not obeyed God's Word, who have not given their lives to God's wisdom through baptism, through belief, God has given simple instructions on how you can be saved. First, you must hear His Word. You must believe it. You must repent of your sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, the Son of God. You must become baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And finally, you must live faithful unto death, Revelations chapter 2, verse 10. Remain thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. If you are a Christian, perhaps you have sinned. Perhaps you have fallen away from God's grace. You can make your life right this morning. We can pray with you. We can pray for you for forgiveness. If you are subject in any way to the gospel call, please stand as we sing the song of encouragement at this time.